Welcome to the State of the City Address. Our community is navigating through challenges, many of which are unprecedented in our lifetimes. Businesses, both large and small, educational institutions, our faith-based communities, all forms of government, and our residents have and continue to endure the challenges of sudden and unexpected change. My heartfelt gratitude to our community for your ideas, critiques, and encouragement is hard for me to adequately express in words. As I have said before, our residents are what make our government work. And so many of you have stepped up to meet challenges and change in new and innovative ways, and I thank you for that. This current state of the city is, well, a challenge at best. But Columbia has been through transformative times before. In 1892, when Academic Hall burned on the University of Missouri campus, the 1918 flu pandemic, two world wars, a Great Depression, and in recent times, the Great Recession of 2008. And now, the COVID-19 pandemic is upon us. I hear that this is the new normal, but in reality, it's nothing more than change itself. Change happens over time, and this change will occur, and the future residents of Columbia will be the judge of how we handled this change. Did we wilt under the pressure, or did we face it head on, and we are better than we were before? Only time will tell. Normally, the State of the City Address provides a clear picture of the upcoming budget priorities. While we have been through many other hardships before, there is no recent history for what we are experiencing right now. The amount of uncertainty is scary for all of us, and we are all having to adjust both personal and professional lives. While a lot has changed in the time after each transformative event our community has faced over the years, many things haven't changed. In fact, I am proud of the many changes we are seeing all around us in order to maintain our sense of community, strength, and resiliency. Businesses of all sizes are adjusting their operations to continue serving their customers and keeping their employees on staff as much as they can. Educational institutions are pivoting to continue providing the stability of education to our students. There's no doubt that families are struggling with the changing work environments, the uncertainty of employment, and teaching our kids from home. Our healthcare system has adapted to provide what's needed to face this crisis. We're fortunate to have a robust public health and human services department that trains and prepares for events such as this. Our frontline workers are at the heart of keeping our community operating, and we thank them for everything they are doing. While there are many areas where we have been able to pivot, things are a bit more complicated when it comes to our finances. Many businesses, organizations, and families are having to reevaluate their budgets to adjust to the economic impact of this pandemic. The City of Columbia is no different. It is currently hard to gauge the impact of COVID-19 on our local economy, since this pandemic isn't over yet. For our local city government, we rely heavily on sales tax to fund the services our residents want and deserve. Unfortunately for us, due to this unprecedented time in our history, we do not have the data to make very reliable projections of the future of sales tax revenues. What we do know is that even before COVID-19, hard conversations were coming as more consumers have moved to purchasing goods online. As I discussed last year, it might be time to consider stabilizing our revenue base by looking at other forms of revenue instead of sales taxes to fund critical services we provide to our residents. I have asked city department directors to submit budgets that include a 10% reduction in spending. That doesn't mean that we will use all 10% budget reductions, but it is an effort to see what our options are for streamlining, especially with the uncertainty of revenues in the next 6 months to a year. This will look different for each department, but some of the proposed cuts could include materials and supplies, reducing services, delaying projects, and workforce reductions. I have also encouraged department directors to review all current positions and the more than 150 vacant positions to assess which positions are truly necessary to provide critical needs and core services to our community. Fortunately, through sound financial planning, the city has reserves that will help ease us through this process of change. We are currently in a hiring freeze with the exception of positions that provide critical service. For example, our Parks and Recreation Department hasn't hired the seasonal employees they usually need for their summer activities, since many of those activities have been canceled or suspended for this year. Much like families and businesses, we will continue adjusting to meet the financial situation ahead of us. It's time for us to take a look at all our services we provide and how we provide them to see if changes need to be made. Just like last year when we moved airport safety officers to the police department, we are now looking at moving downtown parking enforcement positions over to the police department to provide an increased police presence downtown while maintaining orderly parking. Also, due to decreased market demand for recycled goods, we have seen an increase for solid waste and may not be able to continue providing curbside recycling in the future. We also may not be able to offer the same energy efficiency programs that our residents enjoy today. We'll be looking at delaying projects to have a cost savings now, but still provide you with the infrastructure and road maintenance projects we promised. While increases in utility fees aren't favorable, we will have to figure out how to make adjustments to continue providing safe and reliable utilities. I believe this pandemic will have a long-term impact on our economy. As the job market continues to go down and the unemployment rate goes up, it will have a big impact on our community. Not only will it have an impact on individuals, families, and businesses, it will also have an impact on the city budget, the level of services that we can provide. Staff will keep monitoring the impact throughout the next year to recommend any adjustments that may need to be made based on the revenue being collected. While there has been some aid provided by federal and state government, it is one-time funding that unfortunately will not cover the total anticipated loss in revenue. In addition to decreased sales tax collections, more residents are staying home, which will likely cause other revenue sources to be down as well, such as hotel motel tax, motor vehicle tax, and transportation tax. This reduction will impact funding areas such as maintenance and construction of roads, capital projects, utility services, and parks and recreation. These reductions will ultimately affect our general fund and could require us to relook at how the city generates revenue in order to provide the same level of services. Not related to the pandemic, but a sign of the current culture, the telephone and cable franchise revenues are down because people are moving to alternative sources, like streaming services, for their entertainment. which also affects our general fund. Additionally, we have gone another year without having the ability to tax online sales. This is a two-step process. Our local partnership worked with our state capital delegation on a use tax bill. The Missouri General Assembly did not authorize merchants to collect and remit sales tax for online purchases to the Missouri Department of Revenue. Legislators did, however, approve simplified language for local use tax ballots, but it's in an omnibus bill that is drawing some criticism now. Now it's up to the governor to decide how to handle that bill. Last year, we estimated an annual revenue loss of $5.4 million from untaxed online purchases. This year, we estimated a loss of $5.7 million, which could potentially be higher due to COVID-19 pandemic, a stay-at-home order, and increased online purchases. The cumulative estimated loss of local sales tax to the general fund as a result of increased online sales for fiscal year 2010 to fiscal 2019 is approximately $17.2 million. Having a use tax in place helps fund road repair, public safety, and public health services. These core functions must be sustained to maintain a secure quality of life for Columbia. We will continue to work with our partners to encourage a bill to be passed that would allow for collecting taxes for online sales. While we won't stop planning for the future we are planning will be different than we expected. We've delayed the adoption of the 2020 strategic plan due to the current situation. We didn't think it would be right to adopt a plan that didn't consider the struggles we will face as a result of this pandemic. Currently, the proposed 2020 strategic plan is being evaluated by city staff, and changes will be made to fit the current climate. I do want to thank the members of the community who have provided input to create the plan and the city staff members who dedicated hundreds of hours to ensure that the document that guides this organization fits the needs and wants of our community. While it can be hard to imagine what's next, we need to think about what the other side of this pandemic looks like. Typically, our summers are filled with time at the pool, welcoming visitors to our community, ball tournaments, and outdoor events. As well as our falls are filled with influx of students and their families, the excitement of going back to school, Friday night lights for high school football, and Saturday game days for college football, complete with fans, families, and visitors from all over. Just thinking about all those activities brings a flood of good memories for many people. But we don't know how these activities might be different this summer, this fall, or even beyond. With the uncertainty comes the uncertainty about the ripple effects that are possible. We know that we won't be returning to normal, and in some cases, what we knew as normal might be a thing of the past. And what isn't necessary, That isn't necessarily a bad thing. This crisis has forced many of us to adapt and adjust how we operate. Some of those changes might stick around even after the pandemic subsides. For local government, we're looking at how we can consolidate customer touch points to make it easier for people doing in-person business with the city. We're also reevaluating how we can make our buildings more secure for our employees while still providing residents with excellent service. While some of the adjustments are just temporary, some are not. We've already seen so many acts of selflessness in our community, and I know we will continue to unite and help each other survive and thrive. Businesses and individuals have come together to meet the needs of our community in this time of crisis. Several local restaurants have stepped up to offer free meals to children and folks experiencing homelessness in our community. One of the many examples includes Skylark Bookshop and Broadway Diner teaming up to provide books and free meals to children. The Food Bank of Central and Northeast Missouri partnered with the Columbia Police Department to have a few school resource officers help get food into the hands of some of the most vulnerable students and families in our community. First Chance Children held a diaper drive-through event where they provided needed items to more than 100 families in our community. We are seeing blessing boxes prop up in various parts of town that provide free food and basic need items to those who need it most. Instead of parties and celebrations, parades are being organized to honor special occasions. This creativity and generosity is just an example of how many wonderful acts of kindness in our community. Additionally, under the leadership of city staff, the City of Columbia, Boone County, Community Foundation of Central Missouri, Heart of Missouri United Way, and Veterans United Foundations acted quickly to create Como's Helps, which serves as our community's official resource for receiving and managing donations to support nonprofit organizations during the COVID-19 pandemic. So far, Como Helps has received $1.2 million in requests and has provided $712,000 in funding for critical services in response to the pandemic, including food, shelter, and health care. A telethon was organized in a matter of days to raise funds for the Community Foundation's COVID-19 Regional Relief Fund, and more than $33,000 was raised in 12 hours from community members. These are great examples of people coming together to collaborate to help our community. Last year, I stood before you as interim city manager and talked about building relationships, which I have done with the Boone County government, the business community, and I have moved the City of Columbia forward in our diversity and inclusion goals through our hiring practices. Today, as city manager, I want to assure all of you that I continue to look forward, and I am prioritizing to keep the city on a strong financial footing that has been passed down to me from previous city managers. In order to keep that strong financial footing, we are going to have to make some changes, but I will be sure to communicate with you along the way so you know what changes are coming. In closing, I want to ask you to please be patient with each other. We are all going through this pandemic together, and it is affecting each of us in different ways. I again want to thank our community partners, local businesses, nonprofit organizations, healthcare professionals, residents in frontline positions, and our city employees for their flexibility, resiliency, and support. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hello, good morning. You mentioned that you are directing the department directors to review all current positions and then assess what positions are truly needed. Do you have a probability of what that number will be of layoff and payoffs?
Well, I don't know the exact number. I know I've met with three department directors so far. One's a medium-sized department and two smaller departments, and out of those three, we've identified eight positions to be eliminated. Some of them are filled with current staff and some are not. And so as we go through it, I'll be meeting with all the director to decide that. We're also looking at, you know, programs and what that entails.
Thank you.
Mr. Glasscock, what has been the biggest challenge facing city government during this pandemic?
Well, you know, our revenues, you know, are based on taxes coming in, different sources of revenues that we have dedicated, and not knowing, you know, until we get way down the road what that looks like. You know, we get our sales tax. We just got March's the beginning of May, so we won't get April sales tax or numbers until the beginning of next month. So that puts us behind, you know, along as far as going through budgeting, trying to get this done before July and get one submitted to council that we can have some confidence in that we can meet. And so that's the biggest challenge, is revenues lag what all these things are happening. And so, you know, people have been out of work in April, but we don't know what impact that has to our budget until June. That's the biggest challenge.
Good morning. I know that right now the City Utilities Office is holding off on shutting off services for those who can't pay because loss of income. What is there any plan because to get that money back? Because right now the bills are just being added on top of each other.
Yeah, we're talking with council about it. You know, council is looking at maybe forgiving some of those bills. You know, they're looking at not the whole bill. They're looking at a flat rate. They're looking at the whole bill. There's a myriad of things that you can do, and other utilities have done across the country. I have no idea what we're going to do, but we will have to start charging again, have to start doing late fees. At some point, we'll have to start doing shutoffs again, but I don't know when that's going to be. Yes.
You mentioned many reductions to city services, like parks and rec, constructions of roads, and capital projects in utility services. How much of an impact do you think that's going to have on the City of Columbia and its residents moving forward?
Well, capital projects always impacts us. You can always push them out a year or two and still build them. You know, you can have that savings when there's a better time. But you can't push them all out. I mean, you're talking about programs that we normally do that we can't afford, such as curbside collection right now. I think this week we had, out of 59 positions collecting trash and recycling, I think it was either 16 or 19 people showed up to work. You just can't keep that up. And so we're going to have to make some changes to programs that maybe no longer fit with the City of Columbia the way we've been doing them in the past. So we have to look at all that.
John, I ask this question every year on a scale from 1 to 10. How would you rate the city as during your State of the City address this year?
As far as, you know, financially, I think we're in good shape. We have, you know, $16.8 million above our reserve, what we're required to, or what we try to have. So we're in pretty good shape with reserves. Now, that can be eaten up really quick depending on, you know, what you do or do not cut. You know, if you only get to use those once, so you have to be mindful of that. You know, for me right now, it's about a five. I'll just be honest. I mean, financially, I worry about it. But the citizens, you know, they've come through. They've been troopers through this whole thing, and they've accepted a lot of things that wouldn't generally would have been taboo to do.
Sir, during your speech, you had said that utility increases are favorable. Can you expand on that?
Well, they're not favorable, is what I meant to say. If I said favorable, they are not favorable, and I apologize for that. You know, if we went through council at the pre-council, we talked about rate increases, utility rate increases, and they had some concerns over that, but they want to see an audit. And so, you know, for me, garnering information from council, they're not favorable to doing any rate increases. So we've got to figure out how to cut what we're doing in utilities in order to keep everything that we've borrowed and everything paid up to snuff and make sure all the utilities are, the lights come on, the water's running, and the sewer goes away, and we pick up the trash. So we have to keep that up. That's a core service. There's no way around that. You have to keep doing those things every day, whether we have rate increases or not. We got to figure out how to do it.
Are there any city departments like police or the fire department where you plan to protect employment so no layoffs? And then And what departments are you still doing essential hiring?
Well, about all departments have some essential staff. You know, we have to have billing people that collect money for people who pay the utility bills. As far as your first part of the question, police and fire, they're protected to some events because we're lacking. Right now, we don't have enough police officers per capita from what we've had. And so, yeah, they're a little bit protected. I'm going to look at other departments first, but they're not immune to it either. They're going to have to, and that's why we're moving some people out of parking enforcement over to police to help them get through this.
So there aren't any departments where you're like, no layoffs in this department?
Well, you know, there's only like two people in the clerk's office. So you're not going to do that, that's for sure. They're going to have to cut somewhere else, you know, unless you cut the whole department, and I don't see that happening.
Thank you.
Couldn't see that far. One more.
I was hiding behind the camera. Sir, Schnucks said yesterday that it was choosing to tell customers when a few of its workers had tested positive for COVID-19. Why is it up to businesses to release this information? Why doesn't the city step in?
I didn't hear the first part.
Oh, sure. Better? Schnucks had said yesterday that...
Who did? Who said it?
Schnucks.
Schnucks. Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They said yesterday that they are choosing to let customers know when their workers test positive for COVID-19. Why is it up to businesses to release this information to their customers or to the public?
You know, I'm not up on what they call the HIPAA ordinance or HIPAA laws. I know you can't release personal information about people's health, you know, at least from a government standpoint. And so, you know, I follow what the health director tells me that we can do. And so, you know, she's always said that, you know, it's really up to the person and the business of what they want to tell us.
And just to build off of that real quick, some customers have told us that the knowledge of knowing that certain employees have been sick has empowered them to keep going with measures like social distancing. What would you tell customers and members of the public who do want to have this information about the businesses that they visit?
You know, I don't know what's right, what's wrong, what information's too much information. I can tell you, privacy is an important thing to a lot of people. Much like when we tried to put cameras downtown to help police, you know, take care of the bars. People still on their privacy. They went away. You know, there's certain rights that people get up in arms over, and privacy is one of them. I mean, you have to know that when you go into government. So, you know, just because I want to know doesn't mean I have the right to, you know, and people will tell you what you want to know. I mean, we have COVID-related illnesses in the city, you know, our trash service, we had an outbreak there. So, you know, we have to deal with it.
Thank you.
Thank you all.